Luke chapter number 3 and verse number 15. And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand. He will thoroughly purge his floor, and he will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, added yet this above all, that he shut up John in prison. But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, added yet this above all, the most evil thing that he could have done. What was it? That he shut up John in prison. Tonight, I think that what I'm going to title this message tonight is The Prisoner in the Third Cell. Let's pray. Lord, tonight, you see each and every person here. My God, before there was ever a world created, you knew who was going to be here tonight. And you knew what each and every one of us was going to be going through at this juncture in this thing that we call life. And I'm asking tonight, Savior, that you would come down and that you would minister to each and every one of our hearts. I pray tonight that the word would sink deep. I pray tonight that you, Lord, would enlighten us. I pray tonight, Lord, that we would see you in a way that we've never seen you before. And for it, Jesus, I am going to give you the praise. I am going to give you the glory, and I am going to give you the honor in advance. Let's just raise our hands to heaven. Let's just thank the Lord. Let's just give the Lord a hand clap offering of praise right now.
My God, we love you. We worship and we adore you.
My God, we glorify your holy name. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. Here, we see just a little glimpse of the man whom we call John the Baptist. Very little is said about John, but in the short span of time that John had a ministry, it was one of the most powerful ministries that the world at that time had ever seen. And we see here just what it is. He wasn't afraid to say that there was going to be one coming after him. He wasn't afraid to say that this one that was coming, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not even worthy to unloose, he is going to be the one that is going to come. And when he comes, he is going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost, and he is going to baptize you with fire, whose fan is in his hand. And he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. That's what the Holy Ghost does. It burns the things off in our lives that should not be there. The chaff, the waste, the things that do not profit anything. If we just allow the Holy Ghost to burn some things in us, we would see that God really can do something awesome in our lives. And he was not only afraid not to preach and say whatever it was that he felt that needed to be said, but he also was not afraid to reprove. And here we see John the Baptist reproving Herod, who was the king at that time, for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had taken a woman that he was not supposed to take to marriage, but he did it anyway. And he reproved him not just for Herodias' sake, but he reproved him for all the evils which Herod had done. He reproved him for all of the evils that he had done. And for that ministry, he ended up getting shut into the prison. And there he was in the prison, the dark dungeon, the darkness of the prison and the prisoners that were in the prison. And all of a sudden, the jailer, if you please, the head jailer who was sitting there taking account, all of a sudden sees the doors of the prison open. And as the doors of the prison opened, he heard a rumor, but he did not know whether the rumor was true. He heard a rumor that one of the most mighty men that anybody had ever heard, one of the most powerful men that anyone had ever heard, John, who had proclaimed, John, who when he saw Jesus Christ said, "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God." The forerunner of Jesus Christ, the one that was going to say that there's going to be somebody coming after me. And he was the one that proclaimed, "There he is. Behold the Lamb of God." And at that time, John's ministry began to decrease so that Jesus' ministry could increase. In fact, a couple of the disciples of John ended up asking if they could go and follow the Lord. And John was not afraid to say, he was not afraid to reprove, was not afraid to stand against the king, was not afraid to say what he needed to be said to the king. And everybody that heard knew that it was going to get him thrown into prison, knew that it could possibly get him the end of his life, but yet he stood for truth, yet he stood for what was right, yet he stood for his God, standing for God. This man that was clothed in camel's hair, a camel being a dirty animal, a camel being an animal that a Jew wasn't supposed to be messing with, we see John the Baptist, he's not just messing with a camel, but we see that he is clothed in camel skins. We see that he is eating locusts and wild honey. Locusts being saved for the poor. Someone that did not have money for anything. We see John eating those kind of things. Standing up to the king. And for everything that he did, he found himself being the prisoner in the third cell. And the keeper of the prison, looking at the figure that was coming down the hallway, was expecting to see someone who was bigger than him, was expecting to see someone whose voice was a little stronger than his, was expecting to see someone unlike the person that stood before him. And as he came up and he saw the only cell that was left was the third cell. And the third cell, everybody that was in the prison knew that the third cell was the cell that was set or saved for someone who had the sentence of death. It was a rat-infested pit. It was a place that was not fit for anyone. And yet that's where John's name was going to be. And as the guards began to take the shackles off and began to lead John into the third cell, the keeper of the prison said to the guards, "I will be the one who will take him in. You've got to grab this rope. You've got to climb down a little bit. And I've heard about you, John, and I heard that there was a possibility you were going to be coming. And I just want to tell you that I have got to bind your hands and your feet to this wall with these chains. You'll be able to move a little bit. We will try to feed you as best we can. And we will allow your disciples or your followers, if you will, to come and pay you visits every now and again." John, not saying a word. But John, knowing what had transpired the previous 6 months, begins to start to think as he is in the third cell, the prisoner in the third cell, and the prison guard, not wanting anyone to disrespect the prisoner who was in the third cell, wrote his name outside the door of the cell. "This is the cell of John the Baptizer. This is the cell of John the Baptist. He's now the prisoner in the third cell. He's now the prisoner that is going to be sentenced to death." Can you imagine John not knowing how long he was really going to have a ministry, not knowing anything, but this he knew. He came in, and when he came in, he was powerful. He had expectations of everything that the Messiah was going to be and what the Messiah was going to do. And he finds himself locked up in a prison. He finds himself shackled to a wall, if you please. What's his crime? Your crime is doing the will of God. What's his crime? His crime is living for God. Imagine the loneliness that he felt as he was the prisoner in the third cell. Imagine the emptiness that he felt as he was the prisoner in the third cell. Imagine the prisoner in the first cell finding out who it was that was in the third cell and saying, "John, John, do you remember me? I went and heard you in the desert one time. I shouldn't be here today. I had a home. I had land. I had good things. But the king took it all from me. And now I find myself a prisoner in cell number one. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the king." Finally, the jailer, screaming at prisoner number one to keep still, awakens prisoner number two. And prisoner number two says, John, is it really you that is in there? I remember when I used to live for God. I remember when I used to be used by God. I remember how God had His hand upon my life. And all of a sudden I find myself in this prisoner. I'm a prisoner in this prison. I'm not going to blame the king. I'm not going to blame my family. I'm not going to blame my acquaintances. I'm not going to blame my loved ones, but I'm going to place the blame squarely where it belongs. I'm going to place the blame right at the shoulders of God. And He begins to spit, and He begins to swear, and He begins to curse His God, who He says threw Him in this cell. And John is praying, yet receiving no answer. John is asking for some relief and yet receiving none. John is remembering the sermons, if you will, that he preached in the wilderness about how great the Messiah was going to be. And all of a sudden he finds that this Messiah is going to be great for everyone but him. He finds that this God is going to answer everyone's prayers but his. And it's right then and it's right there that John the Baptist gets a smack dose in the face of reality therapy. And it's life that hands it to him. And he finally comes to the realization, my God has not lived up to my expectations. God has not met my expectations. And the disappointment that comes in. And the loneliness. And the despair. And the reports that he hears of the great things that the Messiah is doing for everyone else in the land. But yet he is locked up in cell number 3. And what ends up happening to John is the exact same thing that happens to you and I sometimes. It's the exact same experience that happens to you and I as we begin. I will never forget being in the basement of my mom and dad's home after our home burned down. And my dad with tears in his eyes looking at me and saying, I don't understand why. I could see it if it happened to me. I could see it if it happened to this person. I could see it if it happened to this person. But I cannot see. Why didn't it happen to this one? Why did it happen to you? Why? Look at everything that you've done. And it makes John begin to question, did I do all of this for nothing? Did I preach to myself? Was no one helped? How many times have we looked at ourselves in the mirror, looking into the face of someone that's saying, My God has not lived up to my expectations. How many times have we looked ourselves in the mirror? How many times have we looked ourselves in the face? How many times have we said, have we done all this for nothing? We turned our back from the world. We turned our back from sin. Look at everything that we gave up. Look at all the money that we've given to the church. And what have I gotten in return? Nothing. Did I do all of this for nothing? So John, in his disappointment, we see in Luke chapter number 7, and verse number 18, and the disciples of John showed him of all these things. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? John pulling two of his disciples to the side and saying, you've got a very important mission. Hi, you've got a very important errand, Master. Anything you ask, we will do. I need you to go and find the Master. I need you to go and find the Lord. And I need you to ask him this question. Are you he that should come? Or do we look for another? How many times have we asked ourselves, is this really all it's cracked up to be, or do I find another way? Is this really everything that I want out of life, or should I try to look another way? Should I try to look down another street? Should I try to go a different way? And I want you to tell me exactly what he said when you come back. When the men were come unto him, they said, John the Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits. And unto many that were blind, he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard. How that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor, the gospel is preached. So they go back. And they go to the prisoner in the third cell. They say, we saw the Master. And we asked him. And this is what he wanted us to tell you. The blind see. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. To the poor the gospel is preached. And John, looking into the face of the two that he sent, said, is that all? No, sir. No. That's not all. What else did he say? Tell it. Say it. The last thing he wanted us to tell you, John, was this. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Go your way. Tell John what things you have seen and heard. How that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. But John is saying, what about me? I'm still a prisoner in cell number 3. What about my prayer? What about the answer to what I'm looking for? I've got a death sentence. And they said, and he wanted me to tell you, blessed is he who's not offended in me. What's the matter, John? Are you not glad for everything that you see? Are you not glad for everything that you heard? Because it didn't happen to you. I cannot have, you cannot afford to have the attitude or the mentality of the prisoner in cell number 3. And in that same hour, he cured many of their infirmities and plagues. He cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits. And unto many that were blind, he gave sight. The Bible says he did it unto many. He did not do it unto all. What happens when the deaf saw somebody receive their sight? What happens when the deaf saw somebody raised from the dead? What happened when the deaf saw somebody healed of their infirmity and their plague? What happened when the deaf saw the master get up, turn around, and walk away? What happened when the mother who had the palsy daughter saw the master get up and saw many healed and saw many touched and saw many answered prayers? What happened when the mother saw her prayer unanswered? What happened when the father saw his prayer unanswered? What happened when the deaf saw his prayer go unnoticed? What happened when the blind heard that he's gone? And they got up. And they began to see people. They began to see people weep with tears of joy. Began to see people shout and scream and jump for joy. And all of a sudden, they had to drop their head, knowing that the master was gone and that he might never come this way again. How what happened to them? And blessed is he who is not offended in me. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And blessed is he who is not offended in me. Let's take it to where we live. What about when somebody gets blessed financially who really doesn't need it? What happens when somebody does get a financial blessing and you look at them and you say they've got a good job, they're pulling down good money, this is already going on in their life, he knows that I need the money, he knows what we're going through, he knows we're getting ready to lose our house, he knows we're getting ready to lose our car, he knows what's going on, but yet he blesses them. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Blessed is he who is not offended in me. What about when somebody gets healed that really isn't that sick? And yet you know that your sickness could be to death. And you see somebody get healed of the flu. General Conference 1993, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Friday night home mission service. My best friend and I made our way to the altar because we were both plagued by asthma. Him much more worse than I. Him whose wife had to jump on the bed several times and blow air into his lungs so that he would keep breathing. when the inhalers didn't work. Two men went up for healing that day. One got it, one didn't. The one that got it is the one that really didn't need it, but is thanking God for it. I'll never forget the tears of joy that were streaming down his face when I looked at him and said, I know that I'm healed. I know that I'm healed. I know that he touched me. I've often wanted to ask, but never had the courage to, if he knew right then and there that the Lord didn't touch him. I wonder if he took that breath and heard that. You know the sound, those that have asthma. You know what it sounds like. I wonder if he took that breath and knew that he didn't get touched. I wonder if he knew that he didn't get healed, but yet he danced around the altar with his best friend who did. What about when somebody gets blessed that really doesn't deserve it? What about when a sinner gets healed and never comes back to church? And we sit there and we question the motives of God. And we sit there and we question the methods of God. And we sit there and we try to decipher who is worthy and who's not worthy. And we wonder why we're still in the financial mess. And we wonder why we're still not healed. And we wonder why our kids still aren't saved. And we wonder why we haven't gotten the job promotion. And we wonder why this. And we wonder why that. What about when somebody gets an answer that really isn't even looking for one nor wants one? And you remember the times that you prayed. You remember the nights that you were up agonizing, wrestling with God, asking Him to move on your behalf, asking Him to touch you, asking Him to give you an answer, asking you to let Him know that you're at least with Him. And all of a sudden, you and I come to the stark realization that our God has not lived up to our expectations. Why? Because after all, He filled me with His Spirit. After all, I'm baptized in His name. After all, I had a great beginning. What about to the person that's the only notable miracle that they will ever see? Years asking, years seeking, years believing, years trusting. But yet, as far as they're concerned, the only thing they have on their resume is, I'm baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. Might not be much of a resume, but it's enough of a resume to get you to heaven. Might not be everything that you were asking for. Might not be everything that you were looking for. Might not be everything that you were hoping for. But when the bottom line is over and the dust is all settled and the trumpet blows, or you go the way of the grave and you look at your master and he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I know you had it hard down here, but you're going to take your rest over yonder. Blessed is he who is not offended in me. Can it be? Can it be that the reason that some of our prayers go unanswered is because we take offense when somebody else gets it and not us? I'm talking about when God takes you to school. Are you going to pass the test? And your pastor is trying to spoon feed you so that you will get a passing mark. Your pastor is trying to spoon feed you tonight so that you will make it. This is one test you can't afford not to fail. Because the next one that comes is only going to get worse and worse and worse. And if we fail in the small things, what's going to happen when the monster comes? Man, you know what? I went to In-N-Out the other day. And when we went to In-N-Out, there was some lady. It was a lady, or I don't know, some relative. And some of, there were three people. One guy had a t-shirt on that said the Department of Homeland Security. And it was five fat rednecks in a field with, you know, weeds and everything up around it with five shotguns. Probably all named Bubba or something. You don't want to mess with a fellow named Bubba that's got a gun. Man, I'll tell you, I think those five rednecks could take on any army. Just the look on their faces. Oh, man, I wanted to ask that redneck where he got that shirt, but I was afraid he'd pull one on me and shoot me. Department of Homeland Security. Five rednecks in a field with weeds all over with shotguns. Man, not afraid to take on anybody. And eating the burger, and all of a sudden this one woman, I mean, man, she was an In-N-Out groupie. I mean, if they made a book on In-N-Out, she owned it. And she not only owned it, but she studied it. And she was sitting there saying, I mean, I don't know if any of this stuff is true or not. Well, I do know there's one thing, she said, I'll get to in a minute, that ain't true. And she says, you know, they get their own potatoes grown just for this restaurant. What, there's a special potato grown only for In-N-Out? I mean, it's a special potato. They grow these potatoes just for In-N-Out. Whoa, I'd like to be the farmer that had that in my field. I'm the guy that grows the potatoes for In-N-Out. And she's going on talking and talking and talking. And she goes, man, and they make another one. They make a burger that has two patties. And all you got to do is look at the stinking menu. I mean, everybody here's been to In-N-Out. You know that a double-double's number one. You know it. Give me a number one. You don't have to say, give me, you know what? I'd like two patties. Just tell them, give me a number one. And it's got two patties. And they call it the animal. No, they don't. I've seen people eat a 4x4. Wrong! See, but that's what happens when you and I go through things sometimes. We look at the trial that we are going through and all of a sudden we say, man, I think this is the big one. I think this is the animal. Oh, no, it ain't the animal. Animal style's coming. Come on, lady, if you knew anything about In-N-Out, you'd know that animal style's grilled onions. And then if you really wanted to impress your friends and family, say, they even give you animal style fries if you want. Wouldn't eat them. If they paid me $1 million. Well, maybe for $1 million I would. But I'd probably be upchucking with every bite. Just the smell of them things. But what ends up happening in our lives, listen, I want to make sure I get a passing mark when I'm going through the trial. I don't want to have to redo it again. I don't want to see my home go up in flames again. But if I had to pass, I'd do it. If I had to make heaven, guess what? You'd see me out there watching it. Well, I went through it once. We can go through it again. Not going to be easy. Not going to be fun. But you know what? I think, I don't remember when I came into this world, but from what my mom told me, and I, from my three kids, they all came in naked. That's the way they're going to leave. Unless we throw a suit on them. So we are real good at questioning God. We are real good at pointing out why that person that you healed, that person that you touched, that person that you blessed, that prayer that you answered, those 45 God cans that are on that bulletin board, yet I ain't put one mark down. I can show you why those 45 people were undeserving. The question tonight is not why is God doing this. The question tonight is not why am I going through this. The question is not, I'm fasting till my belly button falls off. Why? Aren't I getting the answer? The question tonight is not, I need Him. I desperately need Him. I want Him. Why doesn't He come and rescue me? It's not, why did He allow this to happen to me, to my children, to my wife, to my husband, or to my family? The question tonight isn't even, why does God allow injustice at all? If He's such a loving God, why does He even put this stuff on us? After all, we are His children. Why does He even allow this to take place? The question before you and I this night that needs to be answered is, will you follow a God who you do not understand? Will you follow a God in whom you do not understand? Will you follow a God who does not live up to your expectations? Will you follow a God you do not understand? Will you follow a God that lives up to everyone's expectations but yours? But yet, if we were all honest with ourselves and honest with God, every one of us would say, He's not living up to my expectations. Will you follow a God who's not living up to your expectations? Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Is there something tonight in your life that you cannot bear? Is the load too heavy for some of you? Is there a mountain you can yet not climb? Is the problem too hard? Will you continue to follow this God who did not fit the bill the way you wanted Him to? The prisoner in cell number 3 never got his answer. Blessed is he, John, whoever is not offended in me. Blessed is he who can say, it really is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to hear of the great reports than to have one come to me. Come on, let's be honest with ourselves. How many want to jump for joy when we see something good happen to somebody else and yet nothing happens to us? How many want to rejoice with the rejoicer when you know you're still sick, when you know you're still broke, and you know you're paying your tithe, and you know that you're trying to be faithful, and you're going out knocking doors, and you're praying, and you're fasting? Why is it happening to them and not to me? The prisoner in cell number 3. One day, the door opened and the jailer came in, said, we've got to move you now. Oh, what happened? Well, what happened was, the king was having a party, and Herodias' daughter started doing some dance she shouldn't have been doing. And it put a smile on the face of a bitter old man that had nothing to smile about. And it pleased him so much that he told her that whatever she asked, it was hers, up to half of the kingdom. And just as she was getting ready to say, "I want half your fortune," her mama came running up and whispered in her ear. And she said, "On second thought, I'd like the head of John the Baptist on a charger now." "So John, it's time to go. It's time to walk." And John started to make his way out of cell number 3. And all that time, never getting an answer to his prayer. "Are you he that should come? Or do we look for another?" I wasn't expecting it to go like this. I wasn't. Don't you realize that even Jesus in Gethsemane said, if this is possible, remove this cup from me. It's getting close to the time at hand, and I don't know if I can handle it. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And John went to the guillotine with laying his head on the block, never knowing whether the answer was verdad or falso. "Angels shall plead to set thee free. Death shall weep when he comes for thee." Yet never an answer came from me. And the third cell is empty again. And the door opens. And another walks through. And another goes into the pit. Who is this prisoner? And what is his name? What name is going to be put on the outside of the door of cell number 3? And some in here know that the question really is not necessary to ask. Because some in here, under the sound of my voice, know that you are the prisoner in the third cell. You know that you're locked in a prison that you desperately want to escape, but you can't. And you see good things happen to other people. And you see prayers answered in other people's lives. And if you're the pastor of New Life Tabernacle, you hear of people getting filled with the Holy Ghost all throughout the world. And people getting baptized in Jesus' name all throughout the world. And great stories of revival and great healings and great miracles. And what are you going to do? Blessed is he who is not offended. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Blessed will be if we're not offended in him. The answer tonight, the only answer that you need to have is yes, Lord, I will follow. Yes, I will. Yes. Yes. Will you go into that cell not knowing how you'll come out? Yes, Lord. I'll go in not knowing how I'll come out. Yes, Lord. I'll go in not knowing what the outcome is going to be. Yes, Lord. I will follow whatever it costs me. Yes, Lord. I will go no matter what. I'm not going to turn my back. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to run. I'm not going to hide. Let's stand. You know all. And tonight, you and I don't know the outcome of whatever it is that we are going through. Tonight, you and I don't know the answer. We don't know whether our kids will be saved. We don't know whether we'll get the job. We don't know whether we'll lose the house. We don't know what tomorrow holds. But this we know. We know who holds tomorrow in His hand. And this we know. I will follow. I will follow. I will go. I won't hesitate. So I guess tonight the subtitle to the title of the message will be, will you follow? Will you let a God lead you who up to this point has not met or not lived up to your expectations? God, I pray. I want to be blessed. And the only way that I can be blessed is if I don't get offended in you when you do for everyone else but me. When my prayers are a tinkling brass on the clouds of heaven, you know, Lord, that it's me. I am that prisoner in cell number 3. I am that one. And whether you don't ever do another thing for me, you have already done enough for me. You filled me with the Holy Ghost. I'm baptized in your name. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Yes. Yes. Yes, Lord, I'll follow. Yes, Lord, I'll allow you to lead. Yes, Lord, I'll allow you to take me. But the first door I need to let him lead me out of is the door of unmet and unfulfilled expectations. Come on. The same God that was in here in a mighty and a powerful way during song service is the same God that is in this house right now. Come on tonight. Come on tonight. Come on tonight, will you break your heart? Come on tonight, will you break your heart? Not your garment.
will go. Come on, John. This is not the time to get bitter. Come on, John. This is the time to get better. Why? Because John was there when Jesus led captivity captive. John was there when he knew the answer to the question, when he saw him. Yes, I am he. Come on. Come on, will you talk to God? Come on. Will some of you pray when you don't really feel like you have any need of praying? Because there ain't no sense of praying anyway. Because he ain't going to answer the prayer. Minister in this house. Minister in this house. Minister in this house. Help us, Lord, to walk by faith. Help us, Lord, not to question.